actually put an actual sphere, and I was practicing this. There's a CD that accompanies it. And my son surprised me and asked Brother Nathan if he would stay back there and him come up here and sing this with me. So that was a real blessing. So it's nice to sing with my son of all days, especially on Father's Day. But something I'd like to share about the camp. I was going to share this privately with Brother Ricky, but I'll just go ahead and share it with all of y'all. I showed Brother Ricky a photograph, two little boys with me. And I didn't know them. And they were from North Carolina. And they had seen that there was one particular day that Brother Hatfield had preached a very stirring message, and I had something deep on my heart. I went to pray about it at the altar. And Tyler came to pray with me, and I was weeping at the altar. And these two little boys, well, I say little boys, but they had seen that. They witnessed that. Then later in the day, I mean, like 3 hours later, we was having the boys all together. And those of you that's been to the camp, you know, the young girls all go up to the tabernacle, and the boys go to the cafeteria. We split up in groups at picnic tables and pray and take prayer requests, whatever like that. Here's what touched me. One of them two boys, when he come around to asking a prayer request, he pointed to me and he said, "I saw this man pray. Whatever was bothering him, whatever was on his heart, I pray the Lord answer that." And then he pointed to Tyler across the picnic table and said, "And I prayed for his son. I saw him go pray with his dad." Well, then, when the young man taking the prayer request asked the other little boy, says, "Who wants to lead in prayer?" And the other little boy, he shot his hand up about as quick as you, Brother Eddie. He's ready to pray at the drop of a hat, and he dropped the hat. And in his prayer, he remembered all of their requests. And these two was cousins, and he specifically said, please, whatever this man was praying for, and whatever. Well, I got to talking, and I hugged him. It just unloosed my waterworks.
Amen.
And
praise the Lord.
But I was talking to one of the other counselors. He said, you know, more than likely, what they've seen of a man wasn't what they saw at Camp Glory. Right. Well, I got really attached to these two. And I had an opportunity later on to pray with them again and whatever like that. And so then the morning that they were with Brother Sewell. And so Brother Sewell needed to leave kind of like first because he had the furthest to travel back. And they asked me, said, "You coming back next year? We'd really like to see you, you know." Said, "Everybody here loves us, you know." And I did come to find out neither one of them had a real good home life. And that was my highlight.
Amen, bro, man.
That was my highlight. You know, amen. I went to minister and was ministered to.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
By young boys.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Dear friend, said this song touched him several weeks ago, so I set out to try to learn it. I tweaked the third verse. I kind of like Brother Nathan, I'll tweak. So I'll have to kind of read it because I remember it two different ways, and if I don't read it, I'll sing it one way, and then halfway through, I'll get through the other way. But Tyler asked about joining me, so I'm very pleased to Amen. Have my son up here.
Bless him, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
Sunshine will go a long, long ways, chasing storm clouds from your skies. Oh, you've just got to open your eyes. Don't let this world get you down. Don't let it turn you around. And keep your eyes on the road and lighten your load. Got such a long way
to go. Here comes the sun, the night is done, a new day is begun. So let the sun shine in like a long lost friend. A glorious day is around the bend. Just look for the rainbow at the end of a rainy day. Oh, a rainy day. We'll each have some hard times to come. Don't let them make you numb. Keep your hand to the plow, don't you turn back now. Faith is knowing, but not knowing how. It's gonna all work out.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes things don't go your way, but it's gonna be okay. And Jesus listens when we pray. Every word we say, just look for the rainbow at the end of a rainy day. I thank the Lord for my wife and son. For the tears I have shed over things Jesus done.
Yeah.
For his mercy and grace, for the sun on my face. For my family and my friends. Lord, I don't ever want it to end. So church, don't let this world get us down. Don't let it turn us around. We'll keep our eyes on the road and we'll lighten each load. We've got such a long ways to go. Yes, church, we've got a long ways to go.
Amen, Brother David.
Amen.
Stay on course.
David, heard that song. One day I was, I had let the world get me down. I was sitting in my truck and turned the radio on, and they played that song. First time I heard it, really ministered to me that day. And then it wasn't long after that, the same thing, and I turned the radio on, and there that song played again. It really ministered to me that day. You know, sometimes songs will really minister to you if it's the right time, the right place. Right words and the heart's been prepared of the Lord. You know, the Bible says preparation of the hearts of the Lord.
That's all right.
And as the Lord prepares our heart to sometimes to receive what He has.
That's right, Brother.
All right. Who did I say? Miss Sally? Okay. Ask her to come.
Good morning. If the world from you withholds all of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Yeah.
If you trust Him and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now if your body suffers pain, and your health you can't regain, and your soul is slowly sinking in despair,
bless the Lord.
Jesus knows the pain you feel.
Yeah,
he can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust him and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer.
Yeah.
He will make a way for you,
thank you,
and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone,
think about that,
and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to him. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Yeah.
If you trust him and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust him and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. If I remember correctly, that song was wrote by a man named Charles Tinsley. And he was a black man, and right after the release of the slaves, he got saved, and then God called him to preach, and he went to his pastor and told his pastor that God had called him to preach, and his pastor tried to discourage him from it because he just didn't seem to possess a lot of ability, and he said, Charles, he said, you need to think hard about this. He said, some people, are able to do things and some people ain't. And he said, Charles, you just don't seem to have a lot of potential. Charles, you don't seem to have, you just seem to have nothing. And he said, Charles said to Pastor, you're right. He said, I don't have anything. He said, I have nothing. He said, all I am is the Lord's. But I feel like the Lord's calling me to preach. And so he went ahead and preached, and then he went to his pastor one day and he said, Pastor said, I feel like God's calling me to start a church. And again, he tried to discourage him. He said, well, Charles, he said, not everybody's able to pastor a church or start a church. And he said, Charles, I really feel like it'd be better if you just stayed here because you just seem to have nothing in that way of being able to do that. And he said, Pastor, he said, you're right, I have nothing. And he said, I don't have anything. I'm just want to feel like the Lord wants me to do this. And so he started a church, and it rapidly grew to about 200 or 300 people. And everything was going great. And he came to his church one morning, and he said he felt God was leading him to move to Philadelphia to start a church. Several of the preachers tried to discourage him in the area, and they said, Charles said, Philadelphia's a big town, sophisticated people, educated people. They said, Charles, you have nothing by the way of education or formal training. And he said, you're right. He said, I have nothing. And I don't have anything but the Lord. But he said, I feel like God's calling me up there to do this. And so he called him to Philadelphia. He started the church. The first service, there was only 3 people that came. And after that, they began to come.
And he built a church up into thousands of people that would come. Even in that day, the white folks would come to hear him to preach. And he wrote, I don't know how many songs that he wrote, that one there plus the one, Nothing Between. He wrote that song, and God used him. And you know why God used him? Because he said, you're right, I'm nothing and I have nothing, but I'm the Lord's. And preached last Sunday morning about how God takes the zeros and makes them heroes.
Amen.
And that's what he did. Amen. All right, we're going to ask Brother Nathan to come, and then we'll preach tonight, Lord willing.
Amen. Brother Nathan, would you sing that one hallelujah?
What?
That one?
The
one
that
you, hallelujah. You know, I don't know the name of it. You played on the piano.
Yeah, what, Savior?
Yeah.
Whatever
you
want.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Lance. My faith.
Turn to 2 Kings tonight, chapter number 7. 2 Kings chapter number 7 tonight.
Second Kings chapter number 7. And we're going to read, we'll read 11 verses tonight, although about 15 verses makes up the story, but we'll just read 11 verses tonight. And we'll focus on verse 9 tonight is where we want to try to come out of tonight. And so when we get to verse 9, we'll try to read it together. We'll have to go slow because it's a rather long verse. 2 Kings chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." You know, that verse tells me things can change quick.
Yeah, brother.
And amen. I mean, we got it made tonight.
That's right.
But it could be different by this time tomorrow evening.
That's right, brother.
And said, "Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof." The Lord didn't have to make windows in heaven. They're already there. "And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? And if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these leopards came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. We'll read verse 9 together. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Thank you. May be seated. Our Father, we do once again, Lord, bow, Lord, this afternoon. Thank you for the reading, Lord, of these 11 verses and what's found in all the 15 verses. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will help us be out tonight to preach and teach the Word of God. And Lord, that this story that we've just read through, and I know, Lord, when we just read through a story, it's hard for us to get it in our minds and get exactly what's going on. But I pray, Lord, in the next little while as I attempt to preach, I pray that God will take the story off the pages of the Bible and put it in our hearts and help us to see it and to get an application that we can apply to our life here tonight, Lord, on this Sunday night of 2015. Thank you, Lord, for the saved. We ask you, Lord, to save those that are not saved. And Lord, we depend totally upon you tonight for your help. And we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
This story is based upon, as we read here, four leprous men. Of course, leprosy in the Bible, even today, you know, leprosy is a dreaded disease, and it's one that in the Bible there's no cure for unless God, you know, does something. There's no cure for it. But this is these leopards here, They were outside of the city here, and the Bible says that, you know, they're at the point to die. They're going to die one way or the other. There's been some awful things going on. We'd have to go back to chapter 6 to find out exactly what's been going on. But it's been really bad. Been a famine there in Samaria, verse 25 of chapter 6. And it's so bad, it said, "Behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." That's pretty bad times. They're selling this stuff to eat. And he says, "And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, 'Help, my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?' And the king said unto her, 'What aileth thee?'" And boy, that's bad. That's a question you don't want to ask some folks. Amen. He said, "What aileth thee?" And she answered and said, "The woman said unto me, 'Give thy son that we may eat him today.'" That's bad.
That's right.
Said, "Give thy son that we may eat him today." And said, "The next day, give thy son that we may eat him." And she hath hid her son. It came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth with on his flesh. And then he said, "God do so more and also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." So they blamed it on the preacher. They blamed the famine on the preacher. But it wasn't the preacher's fault. The famine came because they had disobeyed God, and they weren't living for God. And so it caused a different, it caused a situation to come upon them that was desperate. And this Samaria had been besieged by the Syrian armies. We read here, and all these awful things were going on. And outside of this city, not in the city, but outside of this city, were these four leprous men. And they come to themselves, and they said in verse 3, they said, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine's in the city, and we're going to die there. And if we sit here, still sit here, we're going to die also." So really, what they were saying, "Well, what do we have to lose?"
Yeah, right.
You know, either way, we're going to die either way. And so they made a decision to go into the city. They said, "Let's go in, and maybe they'll show us mercy. Maybe we'll get something to eat. Maybe they won't kill us." But said, "Let's go." And verses 9 through 11 tells about them going in. And verse 6 tells us that when they got in there, there was a great surprise. There wasn't nobody in the city. Everybody was gone. It said in verse 6, "The Lord made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots." They thought they heard chariots. They thought they heard something that they didn't hear.
Right.
And they thought that they had hired the kings of the Hittites against them, and they were coming in, and so they all arose up and fled, and they all deserted the town, and they all left the town. Did you know God can make you hear things that you didn't hear?
Yeah.
It says over the book of 2 Thessalonians that there'll come a time when God will send them strong delusions.
That's right.
If they'll believe a lie, they'll be damned because they think they hear something, but it really ain't what they're hearing. God can make you hear things. I remember a guy that got saved, and I'd worked with him for a long time trying to get him saved. He's an old man, and he was rough, and just an old rough sinner, and he'd cuss and say everything. It didn't matter if I was there or who was there. You know, sometimes people won't cuss if the preacher's around. They'll say, "Well, the preacher's around, they won't say things that they might normally say." But he wasn't like that. He'd say it anyway. It didn't matter if he was around or not. And I kind of, in a way, it's a part of me that respected him for that, because he was just being what he was. You know, it's just an old lost sinner.
Right.
And so, long story short, he never did get saved. He died lost in spite of all my efforts and everybody else's efforts. He died lost. But right before he died, I went over to his house one night. We had a preacher here in revival, and we went over to visit him, trying to get him to come to the revival. His mother had died a few weeks before that, and he was living in a basement home over on Riverside. And we went over there, and it was hot like it is today. And as we walked up there, he had the window open. He could see us coming, and he hollered, and he said, "Just come on in, preacher, and come down here." So we went in and made our way downstairs, and he sat down there in a recliner. We talked for a while, and he said, "Can I ask you, preacher, something? You won't think I'm crazy." I said, "Well, yes, sir, you can ask us anything you want to ask us." And he said, do y'all ever hear things, and you know it can't be real, but he said, "Y'all ever hear things?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, my mother died." And he said, "You know, my mother died." He had a godly old Nazarene mother, loved God, and had a name in town of being a real praying woman. And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well," he said, "ever since mother died," he said, I'll be sitting here in this basement room," and he said, "I think I hear mother calling," and he said, "I'll go up and start down the hall," and I get about halfway down the hall, and he said, "It dawns on me, that ain't mother, she's dead, she couldn't be calling." He said, "Am I going crazy or what?" Just so happened the preacher that was there with me, he said, "No, sir," he said, "you're not crazy." He said, "I had a man in my church done the exact same thing." And he said, "Are you saved?" And he said, "No." He said, "I'm not saved." And he said, "This man wouldn't either." And his mother died, and he said he kept thinking he'd hear his mother call. And he said, lo and behold, it bothered him so bad. He got such a shake that he went down to the church and he got saved. And said, after he got saved, he never did hear his mother call again. Never did hear her voice again. God, I said that to say that God, Brother Eddie, can make you think you hear things that may not really be there, but God can make you think they're there. So that's what happened here in this town.
Yeah.
And so we read where these lepers went in. Verse 9 is my text verse there. And they went in, and boy, they go in, and I mean, they're eating to the full. There's food everywhere. There's clothes everywhere. I mean, it's like that they've abandoned the town and just left it all to them. And I mean, they're lepers, they're hungry, there's been a famine, they're starving to death. And they went in there and found all this food. They found a feast in the middle of this famine. And so they're eating, they're gorging themselves, they're no doubt rejoicing over their good fate. And it says in verse 9, it said, "All at once they said one to another, 'We do not well, for this day is a day of good tidings.'" They said, "This is a day of good tidings."
Amen.
Did you know today's a day of good tidings?
Amen.
Yes, sir. You know that we're sitting here, and today we can all say, ain't nobody here that can't say this is not a day of good tidings.
Amen.
You say, "Well, you don't know my situation." I'm not talking about your situation. I'm talking about over 2,000 years ago, there was a baby born.
Yeah.
And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11, the angel said, "We bring good tidings, great joy." He was born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is a good day. You say, why? Because right now, we're living in the day of salvation.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 2, the Bible says, verse 6 and verse 2. It says, chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "Behold, today is a day of salvation." I'm glad I was born in the day of salvation. I'm glad I was born in the church age. I'm glad I'm born salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. If God will deal with a man's heart, that man can come back. He gets saved today by the grace of God. Amen. That's wonderful to me today that you and I are living in the greatest age it ever has been. We're living in the church age.
Amen.
Somebody said, "I'd like to live in the Old Testament." I would. You say, why? If you'd have done some of the things some of us are guilty of, we'd be dead tonight.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
They'd stoned us. They'd killed us. We'd been dead. Amen.
Amen.
I like this grace age.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that God's not dealing with me according to the law. God's dealing with me according to grace.
Amen.
According to grace. Amen.
That's right.
Now, you got to have rules and standards in a church, You know, you got to have some of that. But I said a long time ago, I said, I'm not going to preach grace to a congregation and then pass them under the law. In other words, I'm not going to get real legalistic and put a lot of things on people that ain't even in the Bible. But if it's in the Bible, it's a different thing, what I'm saying tonight. But we look at this, and what a great day it was. Galatians 4 said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth Amen. His Son, born of
him.
Wonderful. Amen.
Hallelujah.
1 Timothy 1:15 said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
And I'm glad that he did. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad I can tell anybody that. It's a faithful saying. I'd go to China and tell them that. I'd go to Russia and tell them that.
Amen.
I'd go up on the square and tell them that. Yes. It's a faithful saying that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said that he was the chief. No, he didn't say that. He said, I am the chief.
Yeah.
That's after he's saved.
Yeah.
It's after he's saved. He still hasn't. He didn't think he was something big. He still realized he's just an old sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
Amen. And so we look at this, and the thing about it is, you say, well, what's this got to do with us? Just this. You and I are in a day of glad tidings.
Oh, yes.
We do well today. We've eaten well. We've dressed well. We've been comforted today by all these things. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
And what got a hold of them leopards was that they said, we do not well. He said, if we hold our peace to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. In other words, he said, if we just keep this on ourselves, if we don't tell others about this and tell others so they can come and get some of it, he said, we're not doing well, and great mischief may come upon us before the night. Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is that outside of these walls tonight, there's people starving. No, not physically, probably not many, not physically, but literally there's people outside of these walls that are starving to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're dying. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. They've already been given over to death, and the only thing that can save them would be somebody bring them some news that they was some bread somewhere that they could eat, thank God, and keep them alive. Amen. Jesus is the bread of life.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Brother Broughton said what testifying is. He said that's just one sinner telling another sinner where they found bread.
That's right.
I like that. Amen.
Yeah.
John 3:16 said that God so loved the world.
Amen.
And he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish.
That's right.
That's what they were doing. They were perishing.
Amen.
And so we see here that there was a day of glad tidings. They had it made.
Amen.
And they could have just not told anybody, kept it all to themselves. But they said, if we do that, we're not going to be doing what we ought to be doing.
That's right.
It'd be like tonight if a bunch of people had cancer and I had a cure and I took it to cure my cancer, but I didn't give it to nobody else, that wouldn't be right.
Right.
God saved us, a bunch of old sinners. God saved us, forgive us of our sin. We know we're saved. We know we're not going to hell. We know we've been saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
But if we don't ever tell nobody else about that, we're not doing very good.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what they were saying. They were saying it's a sin if we don't tell other people about what God's done for us.
Amen.
You see, they said there in that ninth verse, they said, we do not wail if we hold our peace.
Yeah. Tell what great things we
This do. Is true of many Christians today. That the biggest sin they commit all week is the sin of silence.
Right, Brother Rick.
That they never tell anybody else about the Son of God.
Mm.
Over 1,900 years ago, Jesus came to Bethlehem and he died on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah.
Over 1,900 years ago, he did that. And yet, thousands of Christians go to church each Sunday and they sing like we did tonight. They preach like I'm doing tonight. But all week long, they hold their peace so they don't tell anybody else about Jesus and about what he's done for them, about what he's paying for them. Amen.
That's right.
That's the message here in this book.
Mm.
The Bible said that we're ambassadors for Christ.
That's right.
We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry to witness to lost people and give them the gospel so that they can be reconciliated with Christ. They can be brought back together with Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Yeah. You see, we say, Christ died for me. Christ shed His blood for me. Christ went to Calvary for me. Christ arose for me. That's all true. But 1 John 2:2, I said, it's for not us only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
Dying for everybody. That's why we concerned about missions. That's why we do our little part. Not enough, but we do our little part in giving the missions and praying for missionaries and praying that God will send out missionaries. It's because this thing ain't just for a few Americans. It ain't just for the United States of America. Hey, they need this over in Russia and China, in the Philippines and everywhere else. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying tonight. We commit sin whenever we don't witness to other people.
That's right, Brother Rick.
Pass out tracts. Invite people to church.
Amen.
Ask people if they're saved.
Tell them.
You know, and do those things. And if we don't do that, we'd be like these leopards that just go in there and just get it all for themselves and don't worry about all the others that's dying. Amen.
Amen.
The church tonight, and I don't mean just this church, but I mean all the church tonight, we need reburdened for the lost. There's still plenty of them out there, amen? Yeah. And we need to be reburdened for them. And so the leopards, they said, that it's a day of good tidings, and we're not doing well because we're not telling others
right
about what we found here. They said we commit sin. Did you know it's a sin? It's a sin to not talk to other people about the Lord. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of sins that people come to the altar, you know, and they maybe said something they shouldn't have said or went somewhere they shouldn't have went or done something they shouldn't have done. But how many times have you ever come to the altar because you didn't witness to nobody? See, we don't think about it in that light. You know, the Bible says it's a sin if you don't pray for people. In 1 Samuel, he said, God forbid that I should sin and cease to pray for you.
Amen.
So if I don't pray for you, you don't pray for me, we sin in that way.
Yeah.
And then some people have the audacity to ask the question, do you think we sin every day? Sure we do.
Oh yeah.
We probably sin every hour.
That's right. Amen.
Brother. Amen. And that's why we need the grace of God.
Yeah.
The Bible said where sin did abound, grace did abound much more. But that's still no license or no excuse that we don't try to do better.
Amen.
We still need to try to do better.
Amen.
They said if we don't tell some folks, they said we do not well, this day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. Mm-hmm. Now, that would classify most of us.
Bless Him, Lord.
We hold our peace. We don't tell people.
Amen.
It's not we don't think about it. It's not that God don't move on our heart. It's not that we don't know about it. We just don't do it.
Amen.
So we hold our peace. And he said, if we turn to the morning light, some mischief may come upon us. He says that we don't start doing different. He said, we're going to be in danger. What's he mean? What's he talking about, Brother Rick? Well, Ezekiel 33:7-9. It says, if I don't warn the wicked.
Right.
If I don't warn the wicked, if I don't sound the trumpet, if I don't warn the wicked that he's going to die, that he needs to get right with God, the Bible says his blood will be required in my hand.
Amen. That's right.
And I know as I stand here preaching today, I can think about some men that I know for sure that their blood will be required in my hands.
Right.
You say, why? Because God put it on me to witness to them, to go to them. And so one of them, I never did go. The other one, I went, but I went too late. And when I got there, they told me they'd already died.
Bless you.
And I know that their blood's going to be required at my hands. You say, how do you explain that? Well, it's got something to do with the judgment seat of Christ. For the child of God, it's got something to do with that. I can't explain it all, what it's going to require, but I just know that God says if He tells me to warn the wicked and I don't warn them, God said His blood will be required in my hands.
Amen.
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 That's why David said in Psalm 51, he wanted to get back right with God.
Right.
He said, Lord, he said, help me to get back right with God, a clean heart, a right spirit. Don't take the Holy Spirit from me. And he said, then will I teach transgressors away, and sinners will be converted unto you, he said, or unto thee. Amen. And so we realize that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 through 15, he talks about the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
And he talks about how that some peoples will be saved only by fire. Mm. And some of them will have rewards, but they'll be burned up for different reasons. Yeah. And then he said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we might everyone receive the things done in our body, whether it be good or whether it be bad.
Amen.
And he said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord.
Right. Yeah. Talking about a terrorist.
He said, I persuade man.
Amen.
You say, what's he saying? He said, he's afraid of God. He's afraid of what God's going to say when he gets there at that judgment seat. Amen,
Amen, Brother Rick.
So, them leopards said, this is their good tidings.
Right.
The Lord's blessed us.
Amen.
He's blessed us. We got food, we got clothing, we got all that we need, and we got more than we can use.
Right.
Did you know we got more salvation than we can use?
Glory to God.
Did you know the lamb's big enough for that house, but it's big enough for several houses?
Amen. Amen.
And so what he's saying here, the leopard said that we got more than we can use.
Woo!
And today are good tidings.
Woo!
God's really blessed
Amen.
Us. But he said, we're not doing well. If we're just keeping it all to ourselves.
Amen, Brother Rick.
We're not telling other people about it.
Amen.
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 And so they said that, we need to do something.
That's right. Put some boots on the ground.
That's what we need to do.
Amen.
You and I, we need to do something. We need to do something about that neighbor across the road.
Bless him, Lord. Bless you, brother.
We need to do something about that person that God puts in her path at the gas pump.
Amen.
We need to do something about that family member.
Right.
We need to do something about that person that we work with and
Amen.
We know they're lost. We need to do something.
Amen.
Because we do not well if we just sit there and we just hold our peace. We're not doing well.
Amen.
Amen. I try to ever so often to talk to my neighbors and invite them to church, tell them about the Lord and all of that, and they're always moving in and out. So sometimes, you know, you got to keep on and on doing it, and not just do it one time, but do it a lot of times. But you know, there's even right now tonight with the internet. With radio, with television, with cell phones, right now tonight, there's 7 billion people on the planet tonight. They tell me that 3 billion of them have never heard what you've heard many times one time. They've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We do not well.
That's right, Brother Rick. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You see, folks ain't much interested in this kind of a thing. But it's needed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. We're living in kind of a day when, you know, everybody, they want all the free stuff. They want all the blessings to come their way and them not do any work.
Right.
Amen. Our society's geared that way. Everybody wants a handout. Everybody wants something free. Everybody wants to enjoy the good things, but they don't, Brother Eddie, they don't want to have to do anything themselves.
Amen.
But you see, God saved us, and by His marvelous grace, and we never witnessed to nobody. I don't see how you can do that and be saved. But if we did that and died, we'd still go to heaven, because we're not saved by how many people were witnessed to or how many people went to the Lord. But it's our responsibility to do it.
Yeah.
It's our duty tonight as a church to do it. You know, most churches tonight, they're not out of the witnessing business. They're out of the visitation business. They're out of the track business. We went a few years ago up a street here in town, knocked on the door, and to my amazement, a preacher answered the door. And we told him what was doing, and he said, well, I sure appreciate y'all doing this. I said, don't many people do this no more. And I left, and I'm thinking, well, why don't you do it? You pastor a church, you got people, why don't you do it? Amen.
Amen.
But see, most of the people are satisfied to not do it. and we don't do well, God saved us. We ought to. We need to do something. An action must be taken. We must be determined to tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
And then he said, listen, he said, let us.
Yeah.
That's them leopards talking. They said, let us.
Listen.
They didn't say, let Brother Nathan. They didn't say, let Brother Eddie.
Listen, Lord.
They didn't say, let Brother Jack. They said, let us.
Yeah.
You know, some folks think it's only the responsibility of a few in the church to witness and do this and prayer and all this kind of thing. But that ain't what they said. They said, let us. Let's work together. Let's do this together. Let's get the news out together. Let's all do it. Amen.
Amen.
Can you imagine what happened to this church if everybody started witnessing to 10 people a week and inviting them to church and being serious about it and praying over them? And diligently calling them and keep on calling them and praying over them. Can you imagine what would happen? I dare to say this church would probably go from 200 to 400 in a matter of time. You say, why, they're out there. They just need somebody to tell them, hey, God loves you. God cares about you. You need to be saved. You don't have to go to hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Mark 2. Well, they'd been in a mess if they thought only, you know, one person's supposed to do it, wouldn't they? You know, Mark 2, Jesus is down there and he's preaching. It's noise abroad. Jesus is in the house. And they're all around the house and they can't even get in the door. There's so many there. And they're all there listening. Thank God for listeners.
Yeah.
But there's only four that go out after anybody.
Bless him, Lord.
You think them four is only ones that knew there's somebody, other people out there that needed the Lord? You think them four is the only ones that knew somebody that was crippled or somebody that's physically infirm? No, no. They all knew somebody, but there's only four of them that was willing to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Imagine, Brother Bill, what happened if that old boy went down there and he had to go by himself because he couldn't get the other three to go with him. And he went down there and that little boy is on a stretcher and he got one hold of one end of the stretcher and he's trying to drag that old boy and he couldn't have never got him down there by himself. And even if there's two of them, they probably couldn't have never packed him that far by themselves. But thank God there was four of them that went down there and each one got a corner.
Yeah.
Together they got him down there to where Jesus was.
Yeah.
And together they put their heads together and they said, I know how we can get that old boy. Jesus, I will pound the roof off him, and we'll let him down through the roof.
That's right.
And I tell you, when you and I get concerned enough about lost souls, we're willing to tear the roof off.
Amen.
We'll get him to Jesus.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
I mean, if that'd been nowadays, that old boy better be glad it was that day.
Yeah.
Because if it'd been nowadays, they'd got down there. First of all, nobody even went and got him to start with. But then when they got him down to the church house, they'd say, well, they got a crowd down there. We ain't going to be able to get you in, so we'll just take you back to the house.
Amen, Brother Rick.
These old boys had faith, and they loved this. They loved this man that was, you know, the way he was. And that's the driving thing there, folks, is if you and I love souls.
Yes, amen.
That's not something we can do. That's something God's got to do for us. We got to pray and ask God to do a work in our heart.
Amen.
Help us to love souls and help us to be what we ought to be for God.
Amen.
I tell you, I found out something the other day. God will honor His word.
Yeah, well,
amen.
That's right, Brother.
James 4 says, if any one of us will draw near to God, he said, first of all, submit yourself to God.
Yeah.
Just submit yourself. Just put yourself to God.
Bless him, Lord.
But he said, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. A lady told me the other day, she said, devil just bothers me every day. I said, well, he oughtn't to. You ought to run him off every now and then.
Amen.
Because he said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He'll come back.
Amen.
So we'll be able to run him off every now and then.
That's right.
He said, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God.
Glory.
He said, God will draw nigh to you.
He sure will, brother.
He said, purify your hands, you sinners.
Amen.
Amen. Purify your hearts.
Yeah.
Double-minded.
Amen.
He said, God will draw near to you. And I tell you, you just try it. You just try it. I challenge you. Just try it.
I I'm improving.
Just turn the television off for a while and just say, God, I'm not going to watch television because I want you more than I want Andy Griffith. I want you more than I want these things that I've done seen 2,000 times anyway. And God, I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to draw nigh to you. And just say, God, I'm going out here and pray somewhere because I want to get close to you. And you just make a step to God and see if you don't make 20 toward you.
You will. Exactly right,
buddy.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Exactly right.
God will do it, buddy.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
All His promises are yeah.
God loves it when we say, Lord, I'm not satisfied with my spirituality where I'm at. I'm not satisfied with my relationship to you. I'm not satisfied following far off. I'm not satisfied with a little power in my preaching. I'm not satisfied, Lord, with these things. And I just want to get close to God.
Woo!
You see, God wants to get close to us, too.
That's right,
brother. Amen. So when we make a move toward Him, He moves toward us.
Amen.
Now notice this here. It costs something. See, they said let us, but it didn't just say let us. Look what they said there. They said let us go. Mm-hmm. And what they said?
Yes.
That we hold our peace to the morning. If we tarry to the morning light, some mission will come upon us now. Therefore come that we may go. Go. People don't want to go, at least not to tell people about the Lord.
Amen.
People don't want to go back to church. People don't want to go to the prayer meeting. People don't want to go to the visitation meeting. They don't want to go.
Amen.
But you see, we got to go. That's part of it. We got to go. We got to leave our house. We got to leave the television. We got to leave the gun. We got to leave the fishing boat. We got to leave these things and go out and be willing to tell people about the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Epp says about right here, this ain't going over, but I'm preaching it anyway.
Bless you, Lord.
It's the truth, brother.
Amen.
Yes,
sir, it is. But it didn't just say go. Look what he's saying. He said, we must go therefore and come that we may go and tell the king. You see, it's not just going, but it's telling. Telling. I've been guilty many times of going on visitation, sitting talking to somebody about fishing or their work or something, and stay there 30 minutes and leave, never mentioning God. And I knew it's wrong when I did it. I knew God wasn't in it when I did it. God ain't pleased with that. If we go, we need to go to give them some good news. We need to go to tell them about God. You say, well, Brother Rick, I'm not made that way. What do you mean you're not made that way? Don't tell me you can't talk. Give me your cell phone. Let me check the hours and the minutes on it. Let me have your Facebook account and see how much you've been on it the last week. Don't tell me you can't talk.
Yeah?
You say, well, I don't know what to say. What are you saying?
Amen, brother.
Bless you,
brother.
That old boy in Mark 5 and 19.
Yeah.
Jesus said, go to your friends and tell them what the Lord's done for you.
Amen.
Has the Lord done anything for you?
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
This. Tell them.
Hallelujah.
You say, mean tell them I'm saved? Well, yeah, that'd be a good thing to tell them, but that ain't all He's done for you.
That's right, brother.
Tell them about how that you prayed over a lost boy, you prayed over a wayward girl,
Amen.
And God done something.
Amen.
Tell them what God's done. I tell them how you had a financial need and God met that financial need. I tell them how that you prayed for God to give a special blessing,
Woo.
And God gave a special blessing.
Yeah. Amen. That's right, brother. The world know that.
My boys took me today over to the Waterloo restaurant. You say, why did you go over there? Because somebody told me the other day it was good over there. That's why I went.
Yeah.
Amen. If they told me it wasn't no good, I wouldn't have went.
Right.
You know why some people don't come to church? The people that go to church, all they tell them is it ain't no good.
Right.
The preaching ain't no good. It's too loud. It's too long. The singing ain't no good over there. The choir ain't no good over there. The Sunday school ain't no good over there. I tell you, you keep telling people that this place is no good. They ain't going to come. But you get out there and you start telling them, hey, we got some good preachers in our church. We got some good singers. And God's there. He shows up. People get saved. Thank God. You go out and tell them that every month this year that God saves souls. We baptize people this year. I go out and tell them what great things God's doing.
Amen. Bless you, brother. Praise the Lord.
You'll start snooping around.
That's right.
See if it's true or not.
That's right, brother.
You get them down here praying. You get them down here playing around these gospel banks. Well, I will slide in.
Amen. Amen, brother.
These four leopards here. God didn't just stick this stuff in the Bible so we can read about four old leopards.
Amen, brother Rick. Amen.
Metaphor. The Bible said these things happen for our admonishment
right.
On whom the ends of the world will come.
Amen.
God said, you're one of the lepers. I'm one of the lepers.
Right.
God says you need to do like they do, and you need to go out and tell people what God's done for you.
Amen.
Yeah. And then look here. They said, therefore, we may go and tell the king's household. Verse 10 says, so they came. It was urgent. You know the difference between the church tonight and church over 38 years ago when I got back in church?
Bless him, Lord.
You know one of the big differences, Lance, I think you'd agree with me on this, the difference between church today and church when you was a boy going with your mom and dad. I think you'd agree with me on this, Brother Close. If you was in church back then, I think you'd agree with me on this. You say, what's the difference in church then and now? No urgency.
That's right.
No urgency. I'm going to go. I'm going to tell them.
He's inside.
But no urgency.
Amen.
And this world's closer to the end than it's ever been.
Right.
Amen.
And people are closer to hell than they've ever been. Amen.
Amen.
So we need an urgency in this stuff. We're urgent about other things. We're just not urgent about the things of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We need to work while we have the day.
Amen.
Because the night's coming when no man will be able to work.
That's right, Brother Rick.
They're fast closing in, buddy. I was talking up there at the camp meeting this week. I was talking to an old boy that's involved in prison ministry. Well, it's Kenny Calloway's son. And Kenny was telling me they went to the prison the other day, and they told him, they said, a new law's been passed. And he said he couldn't remember what it was or anything, but he said a new law's been passed. And he said, you can't come in here anymore and tell these people that if they're homosexuals, you can't come in here anymore and tell them that's wrong. You can't even tell them out of the Bible that's wrong.
Those are locks.
That's what he said. He said, my boy, said him and his preacher, they said they didn't know, you know, maybe they're going to have to quit going in there if they can't even tell people what the Bible says. Amen. Mm-hmm. I preached on the radio the other day, and actually, after we sent it in, Nathan makes them up for me, and I appreciate it. It does a great job.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of comments on it.
Amen.
And I sent one in the other day. It's a pretty rough message. You know, I preached here. And even when I preached it here, I got some feedback from preaching it here.
Yeah.
Here in this church.
Amen, brother.
But I sent out over the radio. I got to thinking about that.
Had a joy.
After I sent off, I got to thinking about it. And here's the only reason that I done it, but I called the radio station and I said, don't play that message. I said, yeah, don't play that. Play the one for the next week. And here's the only reason I done it. Because of one word in that message. One place in that message I called the homosexual queers. And I usually don't do that. I use the Bible word, sodomite. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible calls it. Well, I called and I told his secretary, don't play that. And she said, I'll give him the message. And so I'm sitting there Sunday evening waiting for that program to come on. And they come on, the first words, I thought, oh my God. He's played that.
It's all right, brother.
And I don't know if she didn't tell him. I don't know if he listened to it. Right. I didn't want it to be preached. But anyway, it got preached.
Amen.
It hadn't even got done in my phone rung.
brother.
It hadn't been done 15 minutes and my phone broke some more.
What?
You say, who was it? Well, it was preacher. One of them was preacher. And he said, you're right on the money, boy. He said, that's what we need. That's what we need. You know, there's a lot of them think that's what we need, but they ain't going to say it.
That's right.
Amen. But what I'm saying is we're living in a time when we better be doing it while we can do it.
Right.
Amen.
We better be doing it right now if we're ever going to preach on sin.
Yeah.
If we're ever going to tell it right, if we're ever going to do it, we got to do it now. This is urgent.
Right.
Amen.
That's what's all.
Amen. It'll be urgent action.
Amen.
Now watch this, and I'm done tonight. But I want you to see what happened here. And it's so good. They said, now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's house. So they came and they called unto the porter of the city. They came and they called one porter out there. And they said, hey man, ain't nobody in that city. There's all kinds of food. There's everything in there. And we realized we wasn't doing it good but keeping it to ourselves. And so we've come to tell you so that you can tell others. Now watch what happened. Said that. So they came and called the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of men, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents as they were. And he called the porters. They told one porter. And he told the king, and then the king told the other porters, which may have been a whole bunch of them. He said he told the other porters, and they told it to the king's house within. They told everybody. You say, what happened? One person told one person. Told one person. They told several people.
Amen.
And the word got out.
Yes.
That's how it works. Personal soul winning. Personal testifying. That's how it works. You tell somebody.
Yeah.
And they tell somebody else. Amen.
Right.
You and I, we have tonight what this world needs tonight. And it's a day of good tidings.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
People out there are dying in their sins. You say, well, I talked to them, Brother Rick, they're not starving for the gospel. Well, they are, they just don't know it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And we got to care enough for them to go out and tell them.
That's right.
Amen. I wish this evening, I wish that you and I together could this week, that we could kind of cover among ourselves that we're going to tell somebody about the Lord. That we're going to take them gospel tracts, and we're going to get us some, and we're going to put them in our hand, and we're going to give them to somebody and tell them about the Lord. I'm thinking tonight in closing about that little old girl got saved in Vacation Bible School. Jeremiah, he was so excited, and he come up there, he couldn't keep from crying, telling me about that little girl that got saved, wanted to make sure he'd done right and done what he ought to do and everything. So on the last night when it was over, they're lining up to get on the bus, and that little girl's, she's back there, and I went over to her, and I said, honey, did Brother Nathan give you your Bible? And she said, yeah, I got it here. And I said, he put it right in there when you got saved and everything? And she said, yeah. And I said, if you'll keep that, you'll always be able to remember what happened, when it happened and everything. And a little old bitty boy is standing there next to her. And he said, when can I get saved? She said, he's a little boy. And she said, when you get older, you can get saved. She said, you get saved maybe next year at Bible school. But she said, I tell you what, though. She said, I got a tract in here. And she had one of them This Your Life tracts. I don't know if Nathan put it in there or who put it in there, but she had one. And she said, I got a tract here, and when we get on the bus, I'll read it to you, and it'll tell you how to be saved.
Yeah.
Woo!
Amen.
Yeah.
True witness to living soul.
And that's sweet. The Bible said, you know, in Isaiah, it's a little child to lead them.
Yeah.
That little girl is doing what we ought to be doing.
That's right. Bearing fruit.
Amen. You never know. You never know. You know, some seed falls on rocky ground, it never does anything. Some falls among the thorns, it never amounts to much.
Yeah.
But every now and then.
Yeah, on good ground.
That one falls on good ground.
Hard fall.
It brings forth 40 and 60, 100 fold.
Heaven! Yeah, brother.
Don't let crop failure cause you to quit planting gospel seeds. Just keep planting.
Amen.
Watering. And who knows when God will give an increase.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for these
yes,
folks
Lord.
Coming
thank
back to see and hear the word of God.
Thank you.
Thank you for the Bible feeds the soul of a man.
Yes.
He's saved, there won't nothing feed his soul like that Bible, the word of God.
Thank you.
Lord, we all falter and fail, and I guess really, Lord, we just need to all get on the altar tonight and ask the Lord to help us as we know time's running out. Help us to get urgent. Help us, Lord, to realize that this is a day of good tidings. We can ring it out. We can tell folks the wondrous grace of God. Help us, Lord, tonight to listen to the call, hear the call. Help us to look around tonight like them old leopards with the belly full and probably the feet propped up, thinking, man, God's blessed us. And then it dawned on them. We're selfish. We're only using this for ourselves. We're not caring about others. We're just only worried about us going to hell, and now we're not. And so we don't care if anybody else goes or not. Help us, Lord, tonight.
Yes, Lord.
I think we really want to be, Lord, what you want us to be. Lord, I think we really want to have the heart for God that we need to have, but we just need you to help us down here, Lord. It's hard. It's hard, Lord. The world doesn't seem to care, but you still care. Help us, Lord, I pray. Continue to give us souls every month, Lord, for the glory of God. Continue to save people, young and old. Help us, Lord, continue to sow the seed of the word of God. Which in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight. Lord, Nathan, lead us in a song. Let's thank the Lord tonight. Amen.
497.
Thank you.
Dave Crescent, I could probably get
bless him, Lord.
This afternoon. Our daughter's away at Eastern Kentucky University. She's at orchestra camp. And she called this afternoon to share with us something. And she said this morning, they, one of the girls asked, was there a church option today? Do they have, were they going to take, you know, people to church and everything? And they said, no, we're not going to this time. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And so Leah got with the girl that asked that question. We have church today. She got with that girl. And she said, so we can have devotion.
Yeah.
We knew we had devotion.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you, brother.
They went out on that campus. They got underneath the tree.
Amen.
Leah brought her Bible. This girl, she's a teenager. She's a teenage girl. And this girl, she said, is that the Bible?
Yes.
Well, he said, yeah. She said, you read it? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Leah shared with her the gospel, how to get saved. This girl, she never had heard of John 3:16 before.
Wow.
Leah told her about, she talked to her, she told her about Adam and Eve and how they sinned in the garden.
Yeah.
This girl never had heard about Adam and Eve.
Well, I don't
teenage
know.
Girl. You pray for her this week. Leah's going to continue to talk to her.
Oh.
But just broke my heart, went right along with Brother Rick's message. It just
not on Eve.
Just touched my heart. My daughter's excited to call us and tell us about
Amen, brother. That's
about witnessing to somebody.
Yes,
about 25.
Dr. Kerry Fankin, he said she gets saved. I'm going to shout.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to shout anyway.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Young girl.
Yeah.
The gospel. Praise
That's right.
God.
That's such good, a time
brother.
As
I Amen. Appreciate you sharing that. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Brother Rick, I'd like to thank the Lord for the message. And I'm glad I'm saved. And I remember the day I got saved, I thought it strange that when I opened my eyes, I wasn't in heaven. I didn't know nothing then. Don't know much now. But I remember I come to this conclusion. I thought, there must be something God wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I never, ever forgot that. There's something God wants us to do.
Amen.
And I started telling my family, and I scared them all to death. I still remember my mama pointing a finger in my face. She said, when you get home, look up the word fanatic. That's what you are. And I had a problem with that. You know, this kind of goes along the territory. They hated him, and they'll hate you because of him. But I've learned a lot since that day. There is a message. We got to carry it.
Amen.
We got to carry it. Like you said, Leah, that girl never heard it. We got to get it out there.
Yes,
appreciate the preaching tonight.
Amen. Bless you, Brother Eddie. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? Yes, sir, Brother Ronald.
I'd like to thank the Lord, Brother Rick, September 20th, 1987, he was preaching how the same chapter of the Bible. The only thing he's preaching different was, why did you sit here?
Yeah.
And die.
Why did you
sit here? The Lord spoke to me. He said, are you going to sit here and die?
Amen.
I got saved that day. Right?
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right. My wife told me the other day, she prayed that this person, I won't call her name, she said, I'm praying, God, let me lead her to the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
You're
that's what we need to, God wants us, He uses people. Why He did that, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have done it that way, but that's the way God did it.
Yeah.
He said, He's going to use people to get the gospel out, reach people, other people. And you know, in the early church, it was one-on-one. They go out, they win some people. They had 3,000 saved in Acts 2, 5,000 in Acts 5. But after that, it's just more or less one-on-one. That's what Jesus did. He ministered one-on-one. It's went about anointed of the Holy Ghost, went about doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil. But he went in one-on-one. Amen. So we need to be doing that. You say, well, that's, you know, that was for the early church. Matthew 28. He gives them the great commandment and the great commission. And then he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we're supposed to be doing it till the end. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. Good crowd. Father's Day shouldn't be any different than any other day, but it is. And so we got a good crowd tonight. We thank you for coming to honor your heavenly Father.
Amen. Brother Ricky, amen. The comment what Nate said, that young lady had enough concern to know that she needed to be in church. Something had told her in her heart, or in her life, that she needed to be in church. But she had, was running around there wanting to go somewhere.
Didn't know where to go.
Didn't know where to go. And all these people, other people, saved, may have been saved. Not concerned. She's seeking.
Yep.
She's Amen. Seeking the Word of God. She's wanting to find the truth. And we sit here every day.
Yeah.
And think, the place we live in, where we live, everybody knows.
Yep.
They don't.
Exactly right. Amen, brother. Take a lot for granted.
Yep. Yep.
There's more people not saved than there is saved.
Yeah.
I know they'll say there are a lot of them, but not much evidence in their life of it. Amen. So we got a job to do.
That's right.
Amen. The Lord's left us here to work. Now, I always figured it this way, and I could be wrong, but I always figured if we work real hard for the Lord, you know, if you work real hard for the Lord, make him a good hand,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
He probably won't lay you off.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There are those old preachers
yes.
and old Christians like Miss Polly and yeah. people like that just love God and
yeah.
make it their life, you know, just live for Him. They live to be forever. God don't lay you off, but if, you know, down at the factory, if you wasn't much of a hand, they might lay you off or could fire you.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder sometimes if that ain't what happens to a lot of Christians that leave this place early. I mean, if you ain't going to do nothing, He don't need you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, we'll let you go tonight. It's been good. Anybody else have anything tonight?
Hey, brother, I want to say something.
Sir.
Thank the Lord, save my soul.
Amen.
Went to a funeral today. And I told him, good saint of God.
Yeah.
89 year old. And got three sons. And what's he talking? I said, he heard. And David and Dennis.